The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Discover a team that's always here to support you at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Hugh Wallace, welcome to the show.
A very good morning to you, Brendan.
Hugh, every time that we look back at these kind of dark chapters in our history, people say, well, there are other dark chapters happening now under our noses. And Mary was talking there about children and historically how we've treated them and everything. And you think that there is a kind of a dark chapter that is causing massive pain to many, many children going on right now, right there in plain sight, and it's drink.
It is, yeah. And I found the report on the mother and babies just horrific. But the words that were used were amazing, because guilt, hurt, anxiety, neglect, loneliness, loss, fear. And most importantly, not heard. And there are tens of thousands of children tonight who have all those emotions because they do not know whether they're going to have a meal, whether there will be a row in the house, whether they will be the butt of that anger. And I say that because my dad was an alcoholic. And I lived with that emotions and I lived with that fear.
What was it
as
like?
I was growing up. My dad was he was sort of like an angel outside and a bit of a devil at home. He was a placid drinker. And I can't say that it was a nightly event or you know, the drink affected me every day, but it was irregular. It could happen at this moment. And there'd be an anger. There'd be verbal abuse, verbal abuse to my mum, verbal abuse to me. And that mightn't happen again for 3 months. But that anxiety, that sickness in your stomach when your dad was out and the key was going in the door and wondering, was tonight the night? Would you stay up and support your mum? Would I be there for Sue? Walking past her bedroom and she was crying and I'd go in and ask what was wrong and she'd say, I don't feel well, I feel sick. But she wouldn't say, your father has a drink problem and it's affecting me and it's affecting you. It's never discussed. We're a silent voice. And yet, we move on. That's 50 years ago, Brendan.
Your dad stopped drinking, did he?
Yeah, when I was 17.
And how were things then?
My dad was a loving man. He was caring. He was all the things you'd want in your father. Unfortunately for me, after 17 years, I'd have to say I didn't, and unfortunately couldn't reconnect with him.
Yeah.
My mum and dad finally, had a lovely life. We had a house down in Rosslare and we went fishing and it was quite idyllic. But unfortunately for me, there was no mechanism. There was never a discussion about the impact. And today there's not a discussion on the impact of drinking in our family homes. It's unheard. The children can't go into school and say, my dad, abused me last night. It's still silent, Brendan.
And do you think that you became a problem drinker yourself? Do you think, was it genetic in you, an addiction gene? Or do you think it was in some way, like even though you knew your father's behaviour was very damaging and everything, that in some way it was learned behaviour? Or
I think it is. My personal view is it's a disease. It is genetic. It can skip generations. So if you're in a family and your parents are problem drinkers, it might skip that next generation, but will reappear again, if you like, in the grandchildren. And it's insidious and I can't quite describe it. I've been thinking about this conversation, obviously, Brendan, and I look at a moment when I last saw my dad. My dad died of cancer. And I went for lunch with him. We went down to my mum's grave and put flowers on the grave. And we had lunch. And I looked at my dad, and my dad was so happy. He was a very simple man. And he was so happy because they'd stopped chemotherapy and he could taste his food. And I looked at that man and I loved him. And I saw his compassion. And I saw his love for other people. And he was a gentleman. And yet I continued on my route of self-destruction.
What kind of a drinker were you, Hugh?
I was a daily drinker. Unfortunately, I had a very high tolerance for alcohol. And so I could drink 6 or 8 pints every day and go to work. So I was a functioning alcoholic. But as time went on, that was a lie. I, you know, had ended up with bed sweats. I ended up not being able to get out of bed in the morning. I was very lucky to have the loyalty of Martin, who was bewildered, I'm sure, and was bewildered by my drinking. But it's all contained. It's not discussed. It's not discussed as a disease. And because we use the word...
So did you discuss it with nobody really either when it was going on initially, no?
But sure, I didn't know I had a problem.
Yeah.
I was in denial.
And did Martin ever try to kind of intervene? Did anyone say it to you?
No one said it. It's quite amazing. You know, I had that moment of clarity one night and I knew that I had to do something. And I knew I had to stand at the doctor's door at 8 o'clock in the morning and find out what was going on. Now, this might sound very stupid, but at that moment, the doctor said, "You are an alcoholic." It was quite simple. It was quite plain. And my reaction to that was, "I don't want to die." And I wanted to change. And I was very lucky that I had access to support services at that moment, because today they aren't available.
So is it the culture here then that allowed you to be destroying yourself like this, and nobody really pointed out or was never talked about? Is it something to do, is that around our attitudes to drink?
Our attitudes to drink are sort of, oh, nobody would dare to say in a household, "You're a problem drinker." Today, like, there are 650,000 people today affected around problem drinking. They aren't the drinker, but they are affected by the problem drinker. So their drinking is their problem as well. And they have anxiety and chaos in their lives. And they have loneliness and loss and fear. And they're not heard. We haven't had the conversation. We talk about mental health, suicides, anxiety, cancers. And these are all the spokes of a wheel. But at the centre, the one thing and the one product that connects everything, gambling, is drink. 50% of suicides at the time of a suicide, there's drink involved.
And do you think, like you, that most problem drinkers don't actually realise they have a problem? Like you mentioned a moment of clarity. What's a moment of clarity?
Everybody gets a moment of clarity, in my opinion. Again, I can only talk from my experience. Mm. So you will be given a moment where, even in an absolute drunken state, you will get that moment of, this is... You have reached the bottom of the barrel. There is nowhere else to go. So you have a choice. And I was lucky enough that I made that choice, Brendan. And so many people, unfortunately, continue and drink themselves to death, drink themselves to chaos.
There's a texter here, Hugh. Hugh has brought it all back. My father was an alcoholic who destroyed every ounce of self-esteem in his children. Physically, mentally and verbally abused us. I used to dread when he was home, coming home. It never ended, constant anxiety. In my adult years, I asked my mum why she stayed, and she said she was told, "You made your bed, you have to lie in it." I'm tremoring texting this. It brings it all back. So, Hugh, do you think that the lockdowns and the pandemic and everything, the pubs are closed, but in a way, has it made this problem worse in families, do you think?
Much worse, because now it's driven it into secrecy. And the other thing about drinking at home, interestingly, at least when you go to a pub, it's measured. You know, you have a whiskey or and it's measured, or a glass of wine, it's measured. at home, a glass of wine is the biggest glass. So you can say, I only had a glass of wine, but in fact, you're drinking two or three glasses of wine. So the amount of alcohol being drunk at home is phenomenal. And that has led to increases in abuse, which we know about, you know, at home abuse and the guards intervention. You know, you have, and as I said, like 700 children on Christmas Day phoned Childline. So this is like, if we go back and we think about what went on in the mothers and baby homes, and we're horrified, and we should be as a society, but why aren't we horrified today at the tens of thousands of children, tens of thousands of children tonight that face the anguish of living with a problem drinker?
Okay, what do we need to do about it?
Well, you know, I think we need to, like I can only see it as the Road Safety Authority, which has had a huge impact on the reduction of, you know, carnage on our roads, because it's an overarching independent body that has been given a remit of reduction. And we need an alcoholic safety authority that enacts legislation and has a remit to reduce the amount of consumption of alcohol by 10 years, 25%. And I'm sorry to bring this. Somebody will say, oh, that's all fine, but we don't have the money. But the reality is the impact on society is the cost of it is huge. There are 1,500 people in bed tonight related to alcoholic abuse, related to problem drinkers. I'm not saying they're all problem drinkers, but there are cancers, there are depressions, there are suicides, all as a result. And if you could reduce that by 25%, it's actually a reduction to the health to the HSE of 400 million. That 400 million could get this authority to deliver its remit of a reduction in consumption of alcohol, gambling and drugs. And it's given the means to do that.
Yeah, and you know what? Somebody who, when his current crisis is over, who I think shares a lot of your views on alcohol, is Dr. Tony Holohan. He could be a person who could spearhead something like
correct.
This. I've been asked to let people know about the HSE Alcohol Helpline
please.
Free phone, 1-800-459-459. 1-800-459-459, email helpline at hse.ie, or go to askaboutalcohol.ie. Listen, the text coming in from people describing their childhood, and that the fear, someone here saying the fear of weekends, Christmas,
yes.
any
yes.
occasion, starting getting anxious in the run up to it. And then people talking about the sound of the key in the front door, and then the turmoil that they knew would come after it. Listen, Hugh, for all that, and for all you know, and for all you've experienced, and I suppose it kind of says it all about how people have been turning to drink. And look, lots of people can enjoy a glass of wine or a beer
yes.
a few evenings a week, and it is helping people's mental health, I think, in some cases, through lockdown. You went back and had a few drinks during the lockdown.
I did. I did, Brendan, because alcohol is with you. You know, as a problem drinker, it's with you all the time. And it's looking for a moment of weakness, because that's its job. And when you're in rehab, you know, they talk about alcohol as a person. And it is. And because it's invidious. So it's sitting on your shoulder and it'll tell you, yeah, you deserve a drink. You're okay. It's only a drink. And unfortunately, I listened to it. I was tired during the lockdown. I'd have to say, I was depressed. And the man on the shoulder said, it's okay, have a glass of wine. But I knew when I was having my glass of wine, it was stupid. I have to tell you, that didn't take away from the pleasure of the taste. And it all came back. And so you do have to be very careful about you know, your relationship and understanding that, you know, as I said, like I woke up this morning, Martin opened the curtains and it was just such a beautiful day. And I wanted to get out of the bed. And for the people out there who are suffering from drinking and problem drinking, if they have the strength, and they need to have the strength and the support of the people around them to stop drinking, to reduce their alcohol level, and they will be amazed at the change in their life, the lack of chaos, the just the whole enjoyment of sobriety. And that has to be in the background, because what I fear is going back to that chaos. I never want to go back to that chaos, to that lying, to that loathing of myself and my inner anger.
Okay, Hugh, people, I think, are the text flooding in of people who are so grateful for you and for your honesty in highlighting this hidden problem. Look, a texter here just says, all that. Thank you, Hugh. Okay, listen, Hugh Wallace, thank you so much for that. I think that was very, very useful. Thank you.